Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What a great question. The wind had been howling, the waves were swamping the boat, and with one command, Jesus was able to calm the wind and the waves. Indeed, who then is this? Well, this morning I'd like us to see that when you answer this question correctly, you can live with anticipation that God is able to rescue you even in the middle of a storm. When you understand who Jesus then is, you can have peace in the midst of that storm. If you've ever visited the Holy Land, I'm sure one of your tours was a trip on the Sea of Galilee. You get on a boat, a first century looking type boat, and they take you across the Sea of Galilee. Well, I've had that opportunity three times, and every time it's just a surreal experience, because the Sea of Galilee is such an idyllic place. And I've thought to myself, am I really crossing the waters where Jesus called his disciples, walked on the water, and sailed across the sea in a boat, just like I'm doing now? And every time I've been there, the water has been as smooth as glass, and it felt like it was the most peaceful place in the whole world. But as we're crossing the Sea of Galilee, our guide would always tell us that the Sea of Galilee is notorious for the violent storms that can occur suddenly. Winds come down from the hills that surround the Sea of Galilee, and they become fierce, and they create upheaval in the water. If you're on the water, your boat can be swamped and overturned. The boats that you take on the Sea of Galilee, as I said, are very similar to that first century boat, because back in 1986, they discovered one in the mud by the Sea of Galilee. So they created boats that look just like that, and that's what you get to go on. Well, it was one of those violent, unexpected storms that occurred the evening that Jesus told his disciples to take him to the other side. A great wind arose, the Bible says. The waves were beating the boat, and the boat was filling up with water. And then to make things worse, the Bible says that Jesus was asleep on a cushion. Evidently, he didn't just accidentally fall asleep. He had a cushion. He was planning on taking a nap. So the storm is raging and Jesus is sleeping. And you have to ask yourself the question, what good is it to have God with you if he's sleeping? When you need him most, he's snoring. Let me ask you, has that ever happened to you? You call for help and it just seems like God is sound asleep. And notice what the disciples do. It says they panic. They cry out, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? Their lives are threatened by this storm, and everything is out of their control. Well, if there's one thing I hear often, it's this. My life seems like it's out of control. Maybe you can relate to that expression. Whether it's because you have too many responsibilities, or because we live in a fast-paced world, or you have troubles that overwhelm you, or storms that have blown unexpectedly into your life, it's a common experience to say, it feels like my life is out of control. And so you can understand the disciples' cry. Don't you care, Jesus, that we're perishing? We're about to sink, and you are sleeping. Well, the Bible says that Jesus woke up, and he responded immediately. He said, peace be still. And I love how Eugene Peterson translates the scene in his translation called The Message. Jesus said, quiet, settle down. And the wind ran out of breath. Well, their safe passage through the storm to the other side should not have surprised the disciples. I mean, before they set on this voyage, Jesus said, guys, I want you to take me from here to there. I'm going to get you to the other side. But in the middle of a storm, they forgot what God had promised them. They forgot what Jesus had said. And storms have a way of threatening us, and so we forget what God has said. The disciples heard Jesus say, guys, we're here, but I'm going to take you there. But in the middle of the storm, in that bad situation, they panicked and forgot. They heard the word, but they forgot the truth. They forgot to apply the truth of what he had said. You see, the storm frightened them. But then what they're about to discover is something else that frightened them even more. Jesus was able, by just a word, to calm the wind and the waves. They showed fear in the storm, But the reaction to the miracle was even greater. They were shook to the core of their being. The Bible says they were filled with awe. They were awestruck and could only say to one another, "Who then is this that even the winds and waves obey him?" Well, they knew the answer. Only God can do this. This meant that sitting with them in that boat was the very presence of God Almighty. Awe in the presence of God is a proper response. "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" is the question that this story confronts us with and asks us to wrestle with. And how you answer this question will make the difference whether or not you will have peace when you go through the storms of life. When storms come into your life, and they will, I mean, that's part of the human condition, they come. When they come, you'll learn a lot about yourself. You will also learn a lot about the one who can still the wind and the waves. When negativity and failure, when disappointment and tragedy come into your life, you will find out whether you have hope or where your hope is placed. I know countless people who have gone through horrific storms and they're still standing. And to a person, they will say, "What got me through the storm is my Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. He got me through the storm." And I know right here in this room, there are people going through storms right now. And some of you have told me about some of the storms you've been through. And you've also said, "It was Jesus who got me through the storm. I felt that my life had fallen apart. I was crumbling. And he said he'd get me to the other side of it. And I believed him. And he did." Well, let me tell you four things I think the disciples learned from Jesus as they went through that storm together. The first one is this: Jesus is more powerful than we think. The disciples knew quite a bit about Jesus. I mean, they had spent some time with him. Prior to the storm, they had seen him heal a man. They'd seen him cleanse a leper, cast out a demon, even restored health to a man's withered hand. They sat at his feet, heard him teach, and he even explained in private, just to them, what some of the parables meant. They thought they knew Jesus, but the calming of the wind and the waves overwhelmed them. Jesus was far more powerful than they ever imagined. Pastor Tony Evans, some of you have heard of him before, tells a story of a cruise he and his wife took to Alaska. He said on their way back, a storm broke out. It was the worst storm that the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line had ever gone through. Waves were 50 feet high, plates were flying, furniture was rolling across the room, people were throwing up. It was a mess. And people were so terrified, you could hear them screaming. So his wife picked up the telephone and said, "May I speak to the captain, please?" A voice on the other end said, "Ma'am, the captain's on the bridge. He can't talk to anybody right now in light of this storm." Then she said, "Well, would you please tell him I'm very upset that he put us through this storm, because he could have avoided this. He knew this storm was coming, and I just want to register that I'm thoroughly upset with him." Well, the crew member said, "I'll relay that to the captain." A few minutes later, their phone rang, and it was the assistant to the captain. Here's what he said: "Ma'am, we have received your message. It was relayed to the captain, and he asked me to relay two things to you. First of all, go to sleep, I guess if you can, because the captain's going to stay up, and there's no need for both of us staying up all night long. The second thing is this: this ship was built with this storm in mind. Long before we ever hit the storm, we knew that one day this storm was coming. We knew there was going to be a day when we'd meet a storm and the force of nature at its most vicious level. So way back when we were putting the boat together, we contemplated this moment. And this boat was structured in such a way that whatever day this storm came, while it would be inconvenient, irritating, aggravating, exasperating, while it would be traumatic to go through it, what you need to know that all of this was considered when this boat was constructed. So while the storm is bad, the boat is better. Isn't that great? Well, Tony Evans concludes the story with this thought. He said, I don't know what storms you're going through right now or what you will face, but I know this. The Savior was built for the storm that you're in. So while the storm is bad, the Savior is better. Well, I don't know what storms maybe some of you are in right now or what you'll be facing in the future, but I do know this. Jesus will get you to the other side. That one who can still the winds and the wave and bring about peace just by a command is powerful enough to get you through your storm. Second thing, we will never face anything Jesus' power cannot take us through. When you go through storms and it seems like there's no way you can get through it, hear what the Lord wants to say to you. If you will only abandon yourself to me and trust me, then you will go through the storm and I will show you a pathway to peace. There is nothing that you face that's unsurpassed by my power. And that's what our Savior went through at the cross. It was the Father's plan and the Father's power that brought him through. God is able. God is able to take us through life storms. God is able to rescue us when we feel like we're drowning in trouble. God is able to bring us safely to the other side. God is able to give us a new future when the old has fallen apart. God is able because long before these storms came into our lives, God prepared for us a Savior who experienced the cross for you and me. A Savior, though wounded, came out victorious. So Jesus, help us. Help us, we cry out. Life has gotten too painful and we're perishing. And he says, peace, be still. I'm with you always. He is powerful enough to get us through those storms. And there's nothing that we go through that he can't help us through and even bring about something good at the end. I love what Rick Warren has said. He said, God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. Jesus will get us through the storm. In the end, something good can come out of it. Paul writes about this tenacious and powerful love in Romans chapter 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's his promise. As we go through the storms, he still loves us. Nothing will separate us from him. One of the well-known hymns that is sung often is Eternal Father Strong to Save. It's also known as the Naval Hymn. The melody goes to the naval hymn. You might be interested to know that it was Franklin Roosevelt's favorite hymn, and it was sung at his funeral. The casket of JFK was carried up the steps of the U.S. Capitol to lie in state, accompanied by this hymn. The melody was written by John B. Dykes, who named it Melita, after the island where the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked. And the author of the words of this hymn was William Whiting of London, and he wrote this hymn as a prayer for his friend who was leaving London to take a ship to America. But listen to the words of the first verse. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bade the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. This hymn expresses the promise that we will never face anything that Jesus' power cannot take us through. Storms will come into our lives, just count on it. We cannot escape that, but we can call upon the one who can rescue us. Three, Jesus Christ is incredibly patient when we struggle with our faith. Now, I wonder what tone of voice the disciples heard Jesus, when he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? I don't think they heard a scolding tone. He might have been challenging them to open their eyes and see who he is, because in this section of Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus is training his disciples to grow in faith. He was intentionally putting them intimate places and situations where they had to depend upon him. So on the boat, in the middle of the storm, they learned that fear too often overwhelms us or them and crowds out faith. And this was a teaching moment for his disciples. This was a moment for them to discover that faith believes that Jesus is God, and faith trusts that he will get you through the storm. Maybe that question, have you still no faith, is not only directed at the disciples, but it's also directed at you this morning. If your answer is, no, I don't have any faith, then I want you to know that that can change. Faith is not something that you have to will into your life and conjure up. Faith is the work of God in your head and in your heart. It is God who gives faith. It's God who can open your eyes to see how he guides your life. God will show you that some of those coincidences, well, they really weren't coincidences. They were God incidences. And God can give you the faith to believe that with him, nothing is impossible. God can show you, if you're in a storm right now, that he is more than able to get you to the other side. So if you are struggling with faith in Jesus Christ, if you're struggling with lost hope, feeling weak, feeling unable to make it through that storm, then let me encourage you that today you ask God to help you. You say, Lord, I need strength in my faith. You say like that man in the Bible who talked to Jesus, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And God wants to strengthen your faith. The Bible tells us that we're to call upon him in times of trouble. And so I encourage you and I invite you to call on God. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you see his power present in your life to guide you through this storm. And fourth, awe is the proper response to the power and love of God. It says in Mark 4:41, and they were filled with great awe and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? If you've been through a storm and you've experienced God's power and God's grace and God's strength to get through you, the only thing you can do is respond with awe, because you know that what you went through could have ruined you, but because your Savior was with you, you made it through. God's love is so great and his compassion so great, the proper response to it is awe. Charles Wesley, the author of the great hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, describe what worship can look like with these words, lost in wonder, love, and praise. That's what worship can look like. We're lost in the wonder of God, in his love, and all we can do is praise him. But I'm afraid too often our worship is not lost in wonder, love, and praise. We can get sidetracked. I'm afraid too often we're thinking about the roast in the oven, or maybe the ball game that's going to start pretty soon, or all the things we have to do in the coming week. But awe is lacking in our worship. God does not want lukewarm worship, and God deserves our best. He deserves awe and praise as we're lost in his wonder and his love. When life is out of control, when storms have ravaged, when you know that it's only Jesus Christ who can get you through, when you have sensed his presence and his power when all seem lost, then you know that expression, awe, wonder, love, and praise, is the only proper response to his power and love for you. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Almighty. Through him, all creation was made, and he is able to rescue you in the middle of a storm. He is able to give you peace as he leads you through that storm. Let's pray. Lord, storms rage all around us, and terror can close in on all sides. We ask you today to keep us safe through the storm. Take our hand and guide us to a new day, for we know that you are able to give us peace in the storms of life. Amen.